Today we're going to talk about mental health and the Word of God and how the two tie together. And tonight, one of the major problems that we have as Christians and even non-Christians is stress. It's one of the major causes of disruption of mental health. So today we're going to look at the broad picture. Tonight we're going to narrow it down to stress, because all kinds of things can happen in our lives that bring extra stress. Talking about mental health, we're going to start reading in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So I'll ask you to stand as we honor God's word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we also may share in his glory. Father, today as we study your word and mental health, help us to see, Lord, there's two roads laid out very clearly in your word for us, and we get to choose which road we're going to walk through this life in. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're continuing our series of our rapidly changing world as our world more and more is departing from the true God and from his word as the standard of right and wrong. It's important for us to remember, even as we look at our world kind of going away from the things of God and the world changing so fast that most of us can't hardly keep up with it anymore. It's just amazing what's going on. But the good news for us is that our God never changes. You get to know God, and he does not change. In Malachi 3:6, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Again, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I got to tell you, people change. I've changed since I was younger. Everybody I know changes, but not my Lord. Once I learn about him, once I get down what he's like, he's never going to change. And it's so important to get that down. The Word of God claims that it never changes. And I know a lot of churches are teaching, well, that was what was true back way then, but now this is, you know, we're different. Well, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever. I'm so thankful as a pastor, and I'm thankful for this church, that we don't have to make up what's right and what's wrong and what's true and what's not. It's already laid out for us in God's Word. God has proclaimed it, and all we have to do is learn it and then proclaim it to others. Today we're going to speak God's truth. We're going to seek God's truth regarding another topic that's very hot in our culture today, and that's mental illness. Everybody in this room, I'm sure, knows people that are mentally ill and struggling in life. Today, we want to define what mental health is. The CDC, this is their definition of mental health. Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. It helps determine how we handle stress, and that's tonight's message. How we relate to others and make healthy choices. And so everybody here today is on the mental health spectrum someplace. All of us are different. Our physical health, we're on the spectrum of physical health and spiritual health someplace. All of us in different spots. And so there are many diagnoses related to mental health today. In fact, so many you can hardly keep up anymore. But I'm just going to hit the main ones. Depression. A lot of people struggle with depression, and it's a constant thing in their life. It isn't that something went wrong and I'm depressed today. It's that something is always wrong and I'm always depressed. Anxiety. We're saying all your anxiety. A lot of people are anxious about literally everything in life. Eating disorders. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. Postpartum trauma, that's after you have a baby. A lot of women, after they have a baby, the mind just is everywhere, and it's a real problem. Addictions and anger and OCD and bipolar and schizophrenia, and the list just keeps going. You may be sitting here today and you're already thinking, you know, that's me. Well, if it is, don't worry about it. We're going to talk about some of the people that God used in the Bible and in history that had some very serious mental problems. But God used them anyhow. Believe it or not, you are not your diagnosis. If you're here today as a Christian, you are a son or daughter of God. And regardless of what else might be wrong with you health-wise, spiritual-wise, or emotional-wise, you are still a child of God. He still has a purpose for you, and your life has meaning. In Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The scriptures I mentioned before are full of people that God used for his glory that had some very clear mental disorders. I'm just going to hit a few of them today. I'm going to start with King David. King David, although he was a friend of God, although he was rarely used of God, he had some mental problems too. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I feel sorry for those people that have mental problems, you don't understand how pervasive this is. All of us in our lifetimes have some mental problems. There are none of us that every day everything is perfect in our minds. And so we're all part of the same thing. It's just a spectrum, and you're on it someplace every single day, and it changes. But David said in Psalm 38:4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. And if you recall, after David committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, David tried to hide his sin for a whole year. And David said, my bones were burning within me that whole year that he tried to cover his sin instead of repenting and confessing. Folks, sin harbored in your life and make you mentally unstable. And David was unstable for that whole year until finally he confessed. You think about Elijah, another great Old Testament prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3, here's what Elijah had to say. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there. Well, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Folks, he was afraid of a woman, the queen. She had said she was going to take his life, and he began to run. A man who just a day before had called down fire from heaven now is afraid of a woman. We can get so stressed in our life that we become mentally unstable. Job, a man that God said was a man who didn't sin, a man who was upright, in Job chapter 3, verse 24. He says, "For sighing has become my daily food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil." Folks, that may describe you today. It wasn't because of something Job did wrong. It was God dealing with Job for God's glory, believe it or not, that brought all this on him. And you may very well be in a similar situation. Your situation may very well be for the glory of God, and you're thinking this is against me, but it's not. The man born blind, some of you remember the story. The disciples wanted to know who sinned, that man or his parents, that he was born blind. And what was Jesus' answer? Neither the parents nor that man sinned. He was born blind for the glory of God. And if you're having some health problems or some mental problems, somehow it may bring glory to your God eventually. I don't understand it all. I don't claim to understand it all. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah in chapter 20, verse 14 said this, "Cursed be the day I was born." And maybe you're here today and maybe you feel that. You don't like yourself. You don't like what's going on. "May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son.' May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave. Her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and end my days in shame?" So regardless of your use greatly of God, you may still have some mental problems. Just because a pastor is a pastor doesn't mean he doesn't have mental problems. Many pastors have had great problems with depression. It's just a common thing, so many needs. And not only biblical characters, but historical characters. Characters that we grew up admiring, characters that we thought had all the answers. Whether you know it or not, Abraham Lincoln was a man who suffered severe depression and even admitted thinking about suicide many times during his life. And we all admire Abraham Lincoln. Beethoven was diagnosed as bipolar and was manic depressive. But God still used him to make some of the greatest music ever made in the history of mankind. Isaac Newton was manic depressant. And Isaac Newton was one of the greatest scientists that ever lived. Michelangelo battled mental illness, and Winston Churchill was bipolar. And you think, how in the world did those men do all those great things that they did with all those mental problems? They were real people in history, and real people can do great things even if mentally all is not well. Again, you're not your diagnosis. God can use you no matter where you are on that spectrum of mental health. Some misconceptions about mental health. I just want to hit a couple. One misconception is mental health problems are uncommon. Folks, that's not true. The truth is, 1 in 5 adults in the United States of America have a mental health problem. Do you know how many that is? That is over 40 million Americans. That's more than all the population of New York State and Florida State put together in our nation today have mental health problems. Now, it doesn't mean they're all severe mental health, but they have mental health problems that they deal with. Depression is the leading cause of disability in our nation today. Depression is serious, and it can really affect your mental health. Nearly 1 million people with mental illnesses take their own life every single year. So mental health is a serious problem around our world. Studies reveal that loneliness today has become one of the greatest mental health problems. People who live alone, maybe their mate has died, whatever the reason, living alone is not what we were meant for. God made man and woman in his image for fellowship. We need fellowship with God, but we also need fellowship with other people. And when we don't have it, it can cause some real problems. The second misconception. Mental health problems are new. Now, we're talking about our nation going away from the Word of God and away from Him, but the truth of the matter is, regardless of where a nation has been, mental health problems have always been there. 2 years after I was born, the United States Congress declared that May would be Mental Health Awareness Month. So this has been going on a long time. Mental health problems are not something new. They're very common. Number three, a misconception is mental health problems are permanent. I've known many people to hear from their own family members, you've got a problem, you're never going to get over it, just get used to it. Folks, that's not true. Mental health problems are no different than back problems. 2 weeks ago, my back was killing me. I couldn't golf, I couldn't do anything I wanted to do. 2 weeks later, it's gone. Mental health problems come and mental health problems go. And so the good news is, even if you're having a mental health problem today, it does not mean that it's permanent. So many people think, I'm always going to have this. Maybe not. And so that's good news. It gives us some hope. We serve a God who's capable of anything. He can restore health, physical. He can restore mental health. He can restore spiritual health. And so never give up hope. We serve a God who, again, can do anything. Listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is just as concerned with your soul and your heart. He's also concerned with your mind. He wants that to be in tune also. If you're here today and you're struggling with a mental health problem and you know you have something, hopefully something we're going to say from God's word is going to bring you some hope. In Psalm 34, verse 17, it says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're here today and you're having some mental health issues, maybe stress, maybe whatever it might be, anxiousness, whatever, when you cry out to the Lord, the Bible says he draws near to you. And so God is close to us today because we're all hurting in some areas. The key verse for today is Romans 8, verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I want to talk to you first about a life transformed by God. It begins with a heart change. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He changes your heart. The Bible says if any man or woman be in Christ, they're a brand new creation. Things begin to change on the inside. And as the inside begins to change, the mind begins to change. Once you acknowledge who Jesus Christ is, that He is your God and your Savior, the heart changes first and then the mind, and you begin to think God's thoughts after Him. He wants your heart but he also wants your mind. Many Christians give the Lord their heart, but they hold their mind for themselves, and they're missing one of the greatest blessings that can possibly happen. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I urge your brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you, not somebody else, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." In other words, if you want to know God and you want to be used by God, does he have to give you perfect physical health before he can use you? And all of us know the answer is absolutely not. He's used all kinds of people with all kinds of physical ailments. Does he have to heal you perfectly mentally before he can use you? And the same answer is true, and it's obvious. No, he doesn't. But he will work in your heart, and he will work in your mind to make you whole. Romans 8, Paul talked about our thought life. And what he wants us to do is get our thought life in line with God's thoughts. And once we do that, the healing begins and the emotions begin to change. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." So Paul says, don't think like the devil tells you to think. Don't think the way the world tells you to think. Get to know God and get to know his word and start to think the way God thinks. And when you do that, Paul goes on in Romans 8, verse 11, and he says this, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." If the power of God could raise Jesus Christ from the dead, then the power of God can heal your emotional, your spiritual, and your physical life if he chooses to. And I have to tell you the truth. Some people go through their entire life with physical problems. Joel had a little friend that went to grade school with him. He had a sickness that he couldn't get up out of his wheelchair and run like the other kids. And it never went away. Sometimes that's God's will. But I want to tell you, there are other kids that had physical problems that got healed over time. Same thing emotionally. Some people, the Lord is going to leave in an emotional state or a mental state that's not what we would call normal. But God can use that too. God isn't limited to using perfectly healthy people, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. And once we understand that, we have hope. Peace is one of the problems that we have in our society today. People can't find peace anywhere. I want to give you the source of that, because once you understand this, you're going to stop running after the things the world is running after to bring peace, and you're going to know God's mind. Look with me at Isaiah 26:3. "You," talking about God, not you as a person, but God himself, "will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." Many people, including many Christians, would say in their heart, "Is peace even possible in this world?" The answer is absolutely yes. For everybody, peace is possible, but we have to learn about our Lord. We have to learn that we can trust him and his promises. And when we put our full weight on him, we don't have to worry about what else happens. We can simply trust him. So how do we renew our minds? A lot of things can trigger mental illness, and that's why they're called triggers. Circumstances or stressful events can trigger a mental problem. Certain environments, noises, all kinds of things, they're called triggers because they set you off. Maybe you're making good progress and something happens that triggers it again, and you're right back where you were 2 years ago. folks just keep working and struggling and trying to get closer to the Lord, and eventually, Lord willing, he'll bring you out of whatever you're in. So sometimes when a person gets a mental illness, they need to see a specialist, somebody that knows how the mind works really well, and they can be of help. Sometimes medicine really makes a difference. And there's nothing wrong with taking medicine. When my back was hurting, I was taking medicine for the pain. Nobody would say, oh, you can't do that. Well, come on. I don't know about you, but I don't like pain, and especially my own. I just do not have it. And if it's a mental thing, medicine's not the worst thing in the world. Medicine can really help a lot of people. But the greatest thing you can do is get to know your God, get to know his word, get to understand what that problem is and why it's there, and what you can do to help relieve it. We have a mindset, if it's led by the Spirit, that he says brings life and peace. But if you have a mindset led by the flesh, that your life is all about you, anything that's going wrong with you right now is the most terrible thing in the world, you're going to miss God's peace. God says in his word that this life is not all about you. It's all about him and his glory. Our problem is we think it's all about us. We're sure of it. And when anything goes wrong, we say the same thing Jacob did. All this is against me. But it's not, folks. God can use all the different things in your life, including mental illness, and work it all together for good. Can't tell you how he does it, but I know he does it because I've seen it so many times. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Our God is a God of healing and hope. Does he heal everybody? No, he does not. You have to understand that. God has a plan why he allows trouble in our lives. Any good parent would never allow trouble into his child's life unless somehow he said, that's for my child's good. When we took our kids in to get their shots for the different diseases young children get, we knew it was going to hurt. But we knew the benefit far outweighed the hurt. And so we allowed it. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. In Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Jesus came to set us free not only for eternity, but for this life too. What you believe about yourself is going to determine how you feel about yourself. Satan is always whispering, "You're nothing. You're worth nothing. You don't know anything." God says you're his son or daughter. God says he created you marvelously and you're a wonderful creation. Who are you going to listen to? We need to learn how to be those that demolish strongholds. Strongholds are things that have built up over the years that you believe about yourself and you believe about life that are not true. God wants to teach you how to demolish strongholds. Since the very beginning, there's been a battle for the mind. And that battle has never been a physical battle. It's always been a spiritual battle, and it's always been a faith issue. When Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, "As God really said," it put a doubt in Eve's mind about the goodness of God. So she went ahead and ate of the fruit that the Lord said, "You'll die when you do," gave it to Adam and he ate it. Again, it's a stronghold. Satan wants you to believe that God doesn't want your best. There's something wrong with you and God isn't taking care of it. I'll show you how to do it. Alcohol or drugs or whatever, sex, whatever. He always wants to give you a shortcut. But as Christians, we need to learn how to take hold of those strongholds and overcome them. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How do you take your thoughts captive? You know, you're in a spiritual battle. And once you take the enemy captive, they're under your control now. Before, you were under their control, but when you take them captive, they come under your control. So the word right there tells us, through the Holy Spirit, you can demolish strongholds, and you can take them captive for your benefit. So what does that mean? Number one, we have to learn what our problem is. What's going on in my mind that I'm worried about everything? Why do I worry, worry, worry? There's a little song that said, why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? I have a Lord that can control everything. I don't have to worry because it's out of my control, because I got to tell you, as you're sitting here right now, life is out of your control. I don't care how mentally alert you are today, you are on a top that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour as you're sitting right here today. It takes 24 hours for the earth to rotate, and the earth is 24,000 miles around. And so we are sitting here in this church, but this whole building, along with the state of Michigan, is swirling around at 1,000 miles an hour. And the whole earth is rotating around the sun at 1,000,000 miles an hour. Do you feel like you're in control? You're not. Neither am I. And that's okay, because God is in control. He holds it all together. How he does all that, I don't know, but I'm glad he does. Number one, you have to learn how to identify what's going wrong with me. Why am I stressed? Why am I worried? Why do I have these anxious thoughts? Once you identify it, now you've got a choice. Am I going to rely on my flesh, my own personal knowledge how to handle this, or am I going to take a choice and walk in the Spirit and trust God to handle this? We have to learn how to obey the Lord. When Satan tries to tell you life is out of control, you have to take it captive to the Word of God and say, no, my God is in control. I may not be, and I'm surely not, but God is, and I'm going to trust him. We have to learn how to obey the Lord. We can't just identify the problem. We have to identify the problem and take it to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do with this thing? We need to develop some discernment. As we struggle with our mental health, and all of us do from time to time, we have to get some discernment to realize that my mental battle is really a spiritual battle. And there are two different directions I can go. I can trust my flesh, or my doctors, or my nurses, and I'm not telling you don't trust your doctors and nurses, because they do a lot of good. But they are not the primary source of your health, mental, spiritual, or physical. God is the God of healing. God has created our bodies and our minds and our spirits. When we trust him, he begins to heal. So it's so important we get some discernment. Renewing our minds helps us to discern God's perfect will for our life, for our day. God's will today for me is not the same as it was 20 years ago. And it's not the same as it's going to be if I get another 5 or 10 or 15 years. It's going to change. And so we have to keep up with what God wants for us at this stage in our life. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Once you decide I'm going to walk with the Lord the rest of the days of my life, when you hit a problem, and we all hit problems, you're going to take it to the Lord. You're going to pray about that situation. You're going to ask the Lord to give you discernment to know how to glorify him, because whether you know it or not, the primary reason God created this entire creation was for his glory. The primary reason God created the nation of Israel was for his glory. The primary reason Jesus Christ came to this earth is for the glory of God. The primary reason God's going to create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth is for his glory. And once you understand that, you can take your problem to the Lord, ask him for his wisdom, and he'll show you his good and perfect plan. And you'll be able to walk in peace. I'm not going to tell you your mental health is going to be restored 100%. I don't know that. But I do know you can have peace in your heart. You can learn how to discern what's next for you. In Philippians 4:6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Folks, if we would get our minds thinking on the things God says to think on, and stop thinking about all the things God says we shouldn't be thinking on, we're going to have far better mental health. And so the question is, what are you dwelling on today? Are you dwelling on the things that are good and beautiful and lovely and kind? Or are you dwelling on the things that are just irritating you all day long? And all you can think about is what somebody said or what somebody did and how much it rankled you. Folks, you're thinking on the wrong things. When you pray and you take those things captive to the Lord, do you remember to thank him for the wonderful things he's done besides the problem that he's allowed? The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And when you begin to give him thanks for his faithfulness over the years, the peace will come. But when we just pray, "Lord, I don't like this, I don't want this, take it away," and we don't have an attitude of thanking him for what he's already done, your prayers are not going to get answered. We need to learn how to pray. We need to isolate our identity. This world and Satan are trying to tell you that you are a person who you are not. You need to listen to God's voice about who you are and what's true about you, because this world wants to redefine you. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The best we can, we bring it captive to Christ, and then he begins a healing. In Philippians 2:5, he says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." We have many crossroads in our lives. We come to a point in our life where something hits us wrong, and now we've got a choice to make. Am I going to respond in my flesh to this, or am I going to respond in the spirit to this? You know, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you can't respond in the spirit. Only those that have the Spirit of God living in them can respond in the spirit. But if you're here and you are a Christian, you have a choice to make. Am I going to respond in my flesh and work this out in my flesh, which always leads to destruction? Or am I going to trust my God and let him work this out for his glory? When we do that, the crossroad comes and we begin to think differently. I just want to give you a few key points of how to think about yourself. I am a child of God. Folks, that brings me great peace. I'm not just Cleo and Esther Larkin's son. I'm a son of God. Number two, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Even though I'm bald-headed, even though I'm always not right in how I think, I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. No weapon against me shall ever prosper. Why? Because God's on my side. When you were a kid and you picked teams to play baseball, you remember who you picked? Anybody here always pick the worst player to be on your team? I've known a few kids that did that, but not very many. Most of us want that best player because if he's on my team, I'm going to win. Doesn't matter who else they got on the other team. I got him. That's all I need. Jesus Christ is the best player on your team. Nobody can beat him. You have plans to prosper me and not to harm me. That's what God has said. You'll supply all my needs in Christ Jesus. That's a promise of God for every child of God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you make a mistake in your life, Satan will play that mistake over and over and over. Even though you've confessed it, even though you repented of it, Satan wants you miserable. God says you're totally forgiven. There is no record of it in his book. You don't have to worry about that anymore. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Folks, you are a conqueror, whether you know it or not. You can overcome any obstacle set up against you through your faith in Jesus Christ. So because who I am in Christ, I'm going to win this thing in the end. And although I may have some mental problems for the next 20 or 15 or 20 years of my life, some of you may have some mental problems that are going to last another 50 or 60 years. Eventually, I'm never going to have a mental problem again. When the new heavens and new earth come and I'm given a brand new glorified body, my thoughts are going to be exactly in harmony with God's forever. There won't be any doubts, there won't be any confusion, there won't be any stress ever again. I hope that's true for you. If you're not sure about that, it really is this simple. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ shed his blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you pray that, the Holy Spirit guaranteed will come into you. He'll save your soul. He'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for your promises. Lord, we know that many, including us, each one of us from time to time, have some mental problems, stress and anguish and whatever else. But Father, you're the God who heals us. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll continue your good work, that you'll help each of us to learn how to live in the Spirit, to be able to be overcomer through Christ. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.